Welcome to this week's sermon at Village Presbyterian Church. At Village, we seek to be shaped by the life of Christ, to practice authentic friendship, and serve the world. You're invited to join us at either our Mission Campus or our Antioch Campus. For now, we hope you hear a word for your own life in this sermon.
Our scripture reading today is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. But before we read God's word today, let us pray. Dear God, as we read and listen to your word today, remind us that you are speaking to us, center us in what we hear, challenge us to do more than listen, and inspire us to act on this word as we go out into your beloved world. Amen. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Amen.
Amen, amen. Okay, so this is it. In the Gospel of Matthew, these are the last words that Jesus Christ speaks to his disciples. In the Gospel of Matthew, the way the story unfolds, after the resurrection, only the women meet Jesus. And then they tell the disciples, and they say that the Lord has said, "Come and meet him at a mountain." So they go to the mountain, the disciples do, and they meet Jesus Christ there. It is their first and only meeting with the risen Lord. Oh, it's significant that it takes place on a mountain. Remember this, you who are beach people, I know God loves beaches too, but God especially loves mountains. So whenever you read about a mountain in the Old Testament, New Testament, you've got to pay attention because God is going to do something extraordinary in that moment. So it's at this mountain where Jesus meets his disciples for his once and only time in the Gospel of Matthew. It says that they worshiped him, which is what they should do right away. They see the risen Christ for the first time, and they worship him. Verse just before what we read says, "Some still doubted." I actually love that. They've seen the risen Christ for the first time, and some are still doubting. They worship, but they're still not sure, not all of them. And then Jesus says to his followers, "All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me, so go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you, and remember this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." All right, so pay attention to these words, these verbs especially. Jesus says, go. He says, "All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me, so you go." This is the work that we have to do. He says, go. He doesn't say, "Why don't you guys just huddle up and stay here? Or why don't you just build a nice community here on this mountaintop and stay safe and comfortable unto yourselves?" No, right away he says, go. And he says, "Make disciples of all nations and baptize them and teach them and remember." Those are the verbs. Go and make and baptize and teach and remember. Okay, so just a little bit of word study stuff here. In the Greek language, there are two kinds of verbs. One is called a punctiliar verb. This is the verb that means you do it right then. It's instantaneous. And that first word, go, is a punctiliar verb. Jesus is saying, go. He's not saying, when it's convenient. He's not saying, as you have time. He's saying, go. He meets them on the mountaintop, and he says, go. It's a punctiliar verb. The other kind of verb is called linear or continuous. It's as you are about the world, do these things. And that verb, make disciples, is actually a linear verb. So you have this punctiliar, instantaneous go, and then you have make disciples. It's an ongoing process. It's a lovely pairing. Baptize actually is punctiliar. Baptize. And then it says teach, and that's a linear verb called a durative verb. Now, interestingly enough, all of these verbs are imperatives. They're not suggestions. But some are instantaneous. Go, baptize. And others are as you are going, as you are baptizing, make disciples and teach. So the next time, mom, dad, someone says to you, hey, clean up your room, you can stop and you can ask, okay, thanks. I get that that's imperative, but is that a punctiliar verb or is that a durative or linear verb? Like, do I have to clean up my room right now or do I have time, the next 8 years, to clean up my room, for instance? Try that and see what the response is from your folks at that moment. But it's this lovely combination Jesus is giving to us. Do this, and as you are doing this work, shape and form disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and as you are baptizing, teach them to obey all that I have commanded you. And the remember, that's also a durative, a linear verb. Remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Bible scholars call this the great co-mission. Co-mission because Jesus sends the disciples out together as a group. This isn't an individual activity. Go together. You are being co-missioned into the world. There's a difference between ministry and mission. I think ministry is what we do among ourselves. Mission is what we do with those outside of us and beyond us. So this is my last sermon in this series of four sermons looking at our 75 years together. We started off introducing ourselves to our founding pastor, Dr. Bob Manili, and then we had conversation about what it means to be a group together and form ourselves together, to seek justice and righteousness together, to take stands that are important for the life of the world and the life of Jesus Christ. Last week we talked about music, the importance of music in this place, and today we're talking about mission. Our founding pastor, Dr. Bob Manili, loved to say, this is the Mission Church on Mission Road. We are about mission. Ministry is what we do among ourselves. Mission is what we do outside of ourselves. So I want to give you four glimpses of this idea of mission. Before I get there, I want to contrast this with one experience I had many years ago. I was privileged to be preaching and lecturing at one of our churches in Houston. Got picked up by the pastor at Houston Hobby Airport, and he said, you know, we've got some time before I get you up to the church. Could I show you something downtown? And I said, sure, I'd be happy to. And so he drove me downtown. On the outskirts of downtown, there was a large congregation, independent, non-denominational. He said, I just want you to see this. This place is amazing. And I said, sure. We went to the sanctuary, drove around the sanctuary. It was one city block, a whole city block on the outskirts of downtown Houston. And then we saw nearby that there was the Family Life Center, all kinds of classes taking place there, also childcare. Then there was a school nearby, also attached. There were walkways. I recall seeing these walkways they had built above the street so you can get from building to building. Oh, there was also a cafe and a coffee shop before we even thought about ours. There was a little mini grocery store, which surprised me. There was certainly a gym and a nice workout center. And there was a little park, he said, in the middle of this complex. What I noticed right away, and he pointed out to me, is that every entrance to that campus, those blocks there on the outskirts of downtown Houston, they were all gated. There was either a booth there with someone in it, or there was a stanchion there, and you had a card. I guess if you remember, you could swipe your card, and it would lift up and get you into the campus. And he said, it's interesting. There are advertisements for Houston. We meet your every need. We meet your every need. You don't have to encounter anyone else. Just come to our campus and spend the entire day, spend your whole week here. He said, apparently they're building a conference center and a hotel next. And I thought to myself, oh, this is really the opposite of what Jesus was telling us to do. He says, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Don't cordon yourself off, Village Church. Don't just be who you are, lovely, attractive, generous, smart people. Go, make disciples, baptize, teach. 75 years, four glimpses of us trying to do this mission, Church on Mission Road. Okay, to the first one. So we were founded, you get this, February 13th, 1949. We're going to celebrate that this next Sunday, and then following Tuesday is our actual anniversary birthday. So in March 1950, 2 years after the church is founded, the session wanted to give money back to the national denomination that gave us the money to buy this property and build that chapel. The National Presbyterian Church gave us $113,000 to buy this property, to build that chapel, our first building, and to build a home for Dr. Bob Manili and Shirley and eventually Rob and Carol and Joy. $113,000. Second year of our existence, the congregation voted to take a loan out against the value of the property for $25,000 and to give that back to the National United Presbyterian Church so they could give that money to some other new church somewhere in the country. The budget that year in 1950 was $26,700. That was the operating budget for the year. And they went into debt by $25,000 because they wanted to start a new church somewhere else in the country. Ministry is what we do among ourselves. Mission moves us beyond ourselves. It's in our DNA to look beyond just us. I marvel at the faith and the courage of that action in our second year to mortgage this property and to take out a loan to give it back to the United Presbyterian Church. Dr. Archibald Stewart, great name, who is General Secretary of the Board of American Missions at that time, headquartered in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, he writes a letter back to this church. Dr. Stewart says, the founding of Village Church was a venture in faith. But the way the work has progressed among you, I think the board and myself didn't have faith enough. You have exceeded all of our expectations by your faithfulness. And now, in your second year, you give us money back. May the Lord continue to bless you and your amazing minister there at Village Presbyterian Church. Second year of our existence. First major decision, we give $25,000 back to start a new church someplace else. Second glimpse of mission. In the late 60s, the United States is facing all kinds of challenges and opportunities. We've got the Vietnam War protests arising. We've got civil rights seeking fairness and justice, especially for African Americans in this country. We've got women's liberation movement growing and rising as well. The nation is being roiled in the midst of all of those conversations, protests, controversies, opportunities to become a better people. At the end of the 1960s, our pastor, Dr. Bob Manili, gathers some of the elders, and they go across Kansas City and they begin to have conversations with leaders in the African American community here. They begin to have conversations with them, they share a number of meals, and they ask the question over and over again, what can we do to help? You tell us. What I love about this story is that it wasn't Dr. Bob and other leaders going to those people and saying, here, we're going to help you. The first thing they did was break bread together, like we're going to do in a moment at this table. And they began to know each other's lives. They built relationships with each other to see each other as mutual partners in this whole adventure called mission. Out of those conversations emerged an idea. Several of the community leaders for the African American community in Kansas City said the greatest help we could get right now is to help our people find meaningful employment. If you could help us find meaningful employment. Out of that emerged the proposal that there would be a black motivational community grant given. That grant would take place, would help African Americans, black folks on the other side of truce, find jobs, meaningful jobs. So the church had a congregational meeting, and we voted, not unanimous, but overwhelmingly, to give a grant of $100,000 to start this black motivational training center in Kansas City, the first of its kind. At that training center, persons learned how to interview well, how to create resumes. They got job counseling and job support. Hundreds went through that program. $100,000 from this congregation to start this black motivational training center. In today's dollars, that would be the equivalent of $840,000, nearly $1 million grant for this black motivational training center. First decision, to support the national church to found other churches. Second decision, to care for our neighbors, family and friends, to reach out to them, form relationships with them, and to help them. Third glimpse, story. In July 1992, Dr. Paul Rykoff, along with our youth pastor at the time, Reverend Andy Wilson, they led a group of 40 village high schoolers and adults to the Dominican Republic, to a community named La Romana, to build a health clinic, literally build a health clinic there. They were there for 12 days. It was our first significant international experience with a group. A group had gone the year earlier to La Romana, but this was the first time 40 young people and adults went together. High schooler Julie Johnson wrote about her experience, and she said, "The thing about the trip that changed me the most was experiencing the people's faith in God. I went down there sort of ambivalent about my faith in God, but I went to the Dominican, and I saw God in countless ways in these people. They welcomed us, they loved us without even knowing us. The strength they had and the vibrant faith they had, it was incredible, and it changed me forever." 3 months later, in September 1992, Dr. Tony Deal from this congregation leads a small group of healthcare professionals on a medical mission to Haiti. And they spent time there in an Episcopal parish. Dominican Republic, Haiti, all of that lays groundwork for what eventually becomes for us the Dominican Medical Partnership mission. This Dominican Republic Medical Partnership has been going for years. A number of you have done this over and over again. Thousands of people have experienced hope and healing as a result. That trip to Haiti led Ted Higgins and Kim Higgins, who already knew Haiti from Ted's earlier residency there when he was in medical school, led him, inspired him to open the Higgins Brothers Surgery Center for Hope. In the midst of the nation right now, an incredible crisis, that Higgins Brothers Surgery Center for Hope is one of the few remaining open hospitals there in all of the land. All of that laid groundwork for us in 2010 to accompany David Zioka, pastor of the Nema Community Church here in Kansas City, grew up in Thawake, Kenya, to accompany him, and friends from Rolling Hills Church and the Heartland Presbytery. A trip is going back to Thawake, Kenya this May. And that laid groundwork for a group of us to go three different times to the border between Douglas, Arizona, and Agua Prieta, Mexico, to experience what's happening there, the immigration crisis that we are all experiencing together as a country. All of that comes from the relationships that were formed together. A first decision to give money back to the National Church, a decision to cross truce and to seek help with our sisters and brothers there, a decision to cross the ocean, to visit Dominican Republic, Haiti, to go to Thawakia, Kenya, and then to our own border for ministries there. One more, last one. Can't resist this. So last year, we celebrated our 25th anniversary as the Village Church Food Pantry and Clothes Closet, 99th Street Campus. A marvelous ministry started here in Johnson County out of a clear need. Before that point, we were doing like everybody else, collecting food, and giving it away. And the congregation began to realize this is not enough. We need to be able to help consistently and to form relationships with these who are sisters and brothers in this community and beyond. I want you to watch this celebration video.
In November of 2023, the Village Church Food Pantry and Clothes Closet marked a milestone of 25 years of ministry at 99th and Mission Road in Overland Park. Its mission, to assist neighbors in need with food, personal care items, clothing, and household goods, has remained consistent throughout that time. The pantry and clothes closet first operated out of an old elementary school building that was acquired by Village Church in the 1990s. The current building, which was designed and constructed specifically for the purpose of being a food pantry, opened in 2008. The pantry is staffed by two full-time employees. The rest of the work is done by a dedicated corps of volunteers. On average, about 170 volunteers give a total of over 1,600 hours of their time each month.
I have worked probably in all the different areas of it, from the office to serving clients to working in the back. My husband and I do pick up at Trader Joe's. It just is a good feeling to me to come back every week in different capacities and help out.
Well, I've always loved volunteering, and I used to volunteer in a soup kitchen. I like helping, and in fact, I feel like I have gotten more out of it than I have given. It's very rewarding. You get to meet some really awesome people.
We're a partner with Harvester's Food Bank and its regional network of food pantries. A portion of our food is purchased from Harvester's, a portion is purchased from local grocers, and the rest is acquired by donations from groups and individuals, as well as grocery recovery efforts with various area grocers. All of the items in the clothes closet are donated by Village members, as well as many other members of the community. The pantry operates on the premise that we do the good that is ours to do. We can't solve the problem of food insufficiency, but we can provide assistance to neighbors in need. You can support the effort with your financial gifts, as well as with donations of food, personal care items, clothing, and household goods. Or talk to me about the possibility of donating your time as a volunteer. We would love to have you join us in our mission.
Friends, time and again, when I spend time down there at our food pantry and clothes closet, our clients come up and talk to me and tell me about how much they enjoy coming to be here because they feel so seen, so respected. It's about relationships. And just to prove that Presbyterians can be agile, it's possible, coming out of the pandemic, our Village on Antioch site for nearly a year and a half created a pop-up food pantry to complement what happens at 99th Street and to do that there in southern Johnson County. So grateful, so proud of that leadership there at Village on Antioch. So If you've been on any of these Dominican Republic medical partnerships, if you've been with the youth group that's gone in the spring or the Thanksgiving trip, if you had anything to do as a part of the volunteer force at Village on Antioch for the pop-up food pantry or for our food pantry and clothes closet 99th Street, I just want you to put your hand up. Any of these trips, food pantry, clothes closet, any of those? Yeah, look at that. Ministry we do among ourselves, it's important. And I get that ministry is mission as well. But mission moves us beyond ourselves. Jesus said, go, make disciples, baptize them, and teach them, and remember, always remember, I am with you to the end of the age. 75 years. This is just a glimpse of all that we are doing and all that we can do. By the grace of God and Jesus Christ, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon at Village Presbyterian Church. Learn more about us at villagepres.org, and we invite you to join us again next week.